Morning. Today's daf is daf Mem Gimel in Zvachim. What if I told you that today's daf is about Pigel? It is. Pigel is the one of the main topics in Masechta Zvachim. The Masechta is certainly seems to be stuck on the focused on the topic of Pigel, and it really does take up a main part of our limud of Masechta Zvachim. We are on the Mishnah Mem Gimel Mem Beis Amud Beis, the bottom Mishnah, and we start a new Mishnah, but an old topic for us now in the Masechta. Now remember, and I made this mistake early on in the Masechta. When we talk about Pigel, we're really talking about two things. We're talking about, first of all, affecting Pigel, right? Creating Pigel. And then there's an issur in the Torah of eating pigel. You're not allowed to eat pigel. Meaning once it's now affected, once it's created into, turned into pigel, so you're not allowed to eat it. Eating pigel is very serious. The Torah tells us that a person who eats pigel is chayav karas. 36 times in the Torah where the punishment of karas comes about, and this is one of the 36. So it's together with the consumption of blood, the consumption of forbidden fats of an animal. It's together with the arayos, the prohibited relationships of the Torah. Like, it's in that category, it's in that genre. So once you create pigel, and we've been talking about that now for a number of weeks in terms of how to successfully create pigel. Now once pigel is created, so then once you eat it, you're chayav karis. The Mishnah is going to tell us that that's not true for every part of the karban. In fact, for the karbanos, there are going to be a number of karbanos that are not subject to the iser kares. Okay, but you got to be clear though, because this is really where you can get confused in the very beginning of today, and then it's kind of, you'll get a little lost. But just to be clear, we are now, from this point forward, this Mishnah forward, is talking about the chiyuv kares for eating pigel. Meaning once pigel has been created, on what parts now of the animal are there going to be an iser of achilas pigel? So first of all, before we start with the Mishnah, here's what we know. It's got to be food. Meaning it's got to be part of the animal that's an edible part of the animal. Right? The Torah in Parshat Tzav, when it talks about the iser of pigel, pretty much gives us that criteria. The Pasuk says, in Pasuk Tzayin, V'im nedon nedova zevach harbanu b'yam akrivo zivcho ye'achel, So the Torah says that anyone who eats it is going to have to, avonat tisa is going to have to bear a sin. Now the Torah doesn't use the word karis over here, but we already discussed earlier, based on limudim, we know that the punishment is going to be a punishment of karis. So first and foremost, there has to be a part of the animal that's consumed, that's ne'achal, that's eaten. So if you eat a part of the animal that's not eaten, the hide of the animal, that's not going to be the iser pigel. The iser pigel is only going on the actual food stuff of the animal. Other parts of the karban, which are not going to be subject for pigel, and the Mishnah is about to give us a list. Now, I'll tell you right now, the Mishnah's list over here has one common denominator, has one common theme. And that is, all these things are matirin. Matirin means permitters. Every karban has a cause and effect. Meaning that there's a part of the karban that you have to offer, which allows me to eat the remaining part of the animal. Right? That which is offered is called a matir. So for animals, for example, for your classic karbanos sov, an ola, shlamim, right? What's the matir? What allows me to eat the animal? The blood. The dam. I take the blood, I collect it in a bowl, I sprinkle on the mizbech, and the blood now is a matir. So what you're going to expect and what you're going to find is that in the Mishnah, blood is going to be included. The blood of an animal is not subject to pigel. Why? Because the blood is a matir. Okay? Let's do another example. Let's talk about a mincha offering. A mincha offering. So what's the matir of a mincha offering? The kmitza. Cohen takes his fist and puts it into the flour, takes the flour and puts that fistful of flour and puts it on top of the mizbeach, and that allows the Kohanim to eat the remaining part of the Mincha. So the Kometz is a Matir, and what you should expect and we'll find is that in the Mishnah, Kometz is there as well. So that means to say that if the Kohen had a Machshava of Pigol while bringing the Kometz up onto the Mizbeach, so the remaining part of the Karban, the remaining part of the Mincha, is now subject to Pigol, but interestingly enough, not the Kometz. Because the Kometz is a Matir. And essentially, as we're going to go through the Mishnah, we're going to see that's the basic theme of the Mishnah. Anything which is a Matir is not subject to the Isser of Pigol. And it is somewhat ironic. Meaning because it's that very thing which creates the Pigol, and meanwhile, at the same time, it itself doesn't become Pigol. Alright, so it's I guess what we would call here a catalyst. It causes something else to be Pigol, but it itself doesn't become Pigol. It is ironic, but that's just the way it works.
Could you read it and say, if this Pigol will not get chorus?
Current, right.
Isn't it one maybe it said?
That's what it says here. No, not right.
If this Pigol...
Meaning, oh, I'm not saying... Wait a second. I'm not saying, right, I'm not saying you can eat it.
No, but you say don't call it Pigol at all?
Well, I will say that you don't get chorus.
You don't say "could," but it could be called
"pigle." It could be called
"pigle." Right. Okay,
so all right. But then we're having a semantic discussion. So meaning, right? What does it mean? You're calling it "pigle," but there's no kares. All right.
The machshava that you have on the kmitza is that you're going to eat the entire kmitza in the mincha, or you're just going
no. To the machshava you have on the kmitza is that I'm going to eat the mincha chutz mano. You're going to have a classic "pigle" machshava, and so now the rest of the mincha is now subject to the rules and prohibitions of Pigol, but not the Kometz. In other words, the Kometz is not subject to the Isser Karets of Pigol.
But the Kometz, you don't have Machshava to eat that particular flour?
No, the Machshava on the Kometz won't help you, because the Machshava has to be on something which is consumed.
Right. But you're not going to offer the Kometz. If you don't offer the
Kometz... Then it's not Pigol.
The whole Kometz is not Pigol.
Correct,
right.
It's not Pigol. Correct.
Didn't do the
correct. Okay. So fine. By the way, Phil, correct. Meaning, I totally agree with you. We're not saying that you can eat it. Right. We're just simply saying that it doesn't have curries. Right. What do you want to call it? Right.
It seems to imply that it's called pigle, but it's not curries. I mean, as you say, it doesn't make a difference.
Right. Okay, right. It turns into a semantic discussion right. of what to call it. Elu dvarim she'in chayev lehem mishum pigle. So here we go. Now the Mishnah is going to give us our list. Number one, Kometz. Okay, like we discussed. Kometz is that fistful of flour that goes up onto the Mizbeach that allows me to eat the others. So again, the Kometz is a Matir. Once it is a Matir, it's not going to get the Isser of Pigol. You won't be Chayv Kares if somebody goes ahead and eats the Kometz. Haktares. Ketares is the
incense.
Okay, now here it's interesting. It doesn't, meaning Ketores is burnt entirely on the Mizbeach, right? It doesn't permit nothing else is Matir it. Meaning it is it, if that's the sense. But it is it, nothing else permits it, therefore it's not going to be Chayv for Pigol. Lavona. Lavona is a frankincense. Frankincense is the part of the Mincha that's offered on the Mizbeach. So again, nothing permits it. It is it. It is brought up onto the Mizbech. Therefore, it's not subject to Pigol. Uminchas Kohanim. Minchas Kohanim. Any Mincha offered by a Kohen. The Torah tells us, a Mincha that's offered by a Kohen, Kulo Taktar. The whole thing is burnt on the Mizbech. So once again, nothing permits it. It itself is put up onto the Mizbech. Minchas Kohen Mashiach, the Kohen Gadol. Every day brings his special Mincha offering. It's also called Minchas Chavitin. Right, chaviti kohen gadol. Again, there's no matir, meaning it is brought up onto the mizbeach and nothing permits it. Hadam v'hanesachim, blood, as I mentioned in the introduction to this morning, same thing. Blood is a matir, therefore it's not subject to the iser of pigol. V'hanesachim abam b'fnei atzman div Rabbi Meir. Now, together with a lot of the karbanos are what's called nesachim. Nesachim. In English, translates as libations, and that's such a funny word. I have no idea what that word means. All right, it doesn't matter. Nesachim, together with every karban, you have to bring a certain amount of wine, oil, and flour. Okay, the Torah calls that nesachim. They are attachments to the karban. How much you have to bring, so it depends on the size of the karban. Torah tells us that for every karban, there's a certain amount of wine, oil, and flour that needs to be brought. These are called nesachim. Now, in the nesachim, what happens to them? They're burnt on the mizbeach. Okay? Nobody gets to eat them. It's not like a mincha offering. I know it's flour, but it's not like a mincha offering where part of it goes onto the mizbeach and the other part is eaten by the kohanim. The nesachim are burned entirely on the mizbeach. Says the Mishnah that when it comes to these nesachim, again, same story. They don't have a matir. Nothing permits it to be eaten. It just simply is put up onto the mizbeach and burnt on the mizbeach. Therefore, it's not subject to the Isser of Pigel. Which means, let's be clearer about this. What that means is, let's say the Kohen offers the carbon of these nesachim. And while bringing the carbon of these nesachim, the Kohen says, I want to do a Pigel machshav, I want to do chutzas mano. And he does, and he successfully does chutzas mano. And there's an Isser Pigel on the animal. Is there also going to be an Isser Pigel on the nesachim as well? So now, right now, well, hold on 1 second. I spoke a little bit too soon. Meaning, good. We're gonna discuss that question in just a moment. Rabbi Meir says nesachim habayim bifnei atzman. What if the nesachim are brought independently? Meaning, not as an attachment to a karban, but they're brought independently. Rashi points out over here, you could do that. If you want to just bring nesachim by themselves, not attached to any particular karban, you could do that. So again, it's the same story. It doesn't have a matir. Nothing permits it to be eaten. It just simply goes up onto the mizbeach, so then it's not subject to the issus of pigel. Divra meir. The chachamim omrim afabayim ima behema. The chachamim go one step further than Rabbi Meir. I mean, the chachamim tell us, even if it's nesachim attached to a karban, it also is not going to be subject to pigel. Right? Now, let's think this through. Remeir and the Chachamim obviously argue on this one point over here about Nesachim that's attached to a karban. How do you understand the Chachamim? So Rashi tells us how to understand the Chachamim. Chachamim omrim afabayim imahema, the cave and the yochel ha'akrav Nesachim, lamachar nimsa she'ein hazevach matiran li karev, elahin matir nasasman. Look, here's what the Chachamim's thought process is. Again, we go back to our basic rule. In order for there to be the Isser of Pigel on any particular karban, it has to have a matir. That's our rule. That's our rule, which we're going to keep reiterating again and again today. All right. These nesachim that are attached to a karban, you could make a very simple argument they have a matir. You can't just simply offer the nesachim on the mizbeach. It doesn't work that way. If a nesachim are attached to a karban, the first thing you need to do is you need to bring the karban successfully, and then you bring the nesachim. So if you asked me, if you asked, right, Rabbi Meir, he'll tell you, Rabbi Meir will tell you, it has a matir. You can't bring the nesachim up onto the mizbeach until you bring the karban. So when Rabbi Meir says, nesachim attached to a karban, he says, oh, they have a matir. Therefore, they're subject to the Isser of Pigel. That's Rabbi Meir. What's the Chachamim's thought process? So Rashi just told us that he disagrees. In order for it to be considered a matir, it means that if I brought its matir today, so then I have to consume the remaining part today. That's not true by nesachim. That's true by karban. Right? By karban, here's what we know. I bring the blood of a karban to the mizbeach and sprinkle onto the mizbeach. I have to eat the remaining part of the karban today. If it's a shlamim, I get 2 days. But that's it. By nesachim, it's not true. When I bring the karban today, do I have to bring the nesachim today? As we will learn a number of times through this masechta, no, you don't. You don't have to bring it today. You could bring the nesachim tomorrow, you could bring the nesachim 10 days from now. Right? It doesn't have to be brought today.
Is it essential or is it not essential?
It's a mitzvah, but it's not essential. The kapara is still achieved even when I haven't brought the nesachim. They don't have to be brought today. So the chachamim say, It's not nitar al yedei hakarban.
So it can never be pigel then.
And therefore it's not subject to the rules of pigel.
It's not eating it. If somebody doesn't drink it and eat it, it's not.
You're not allowed to eat it. It's supposed to be brought up onto mizbeach.
Supposing he does.
So it's not, according to the chachamim, it's not pigel. It's not subject to pigel. Fine.
Do you get the malchus for if you eat it?
I don't know. In other words, you're not allowed to eat it, but what's the actual prohibition for eating it? It's puzzle. I don't know.
No.
I don't know.
Pasul in general, eating pasul in general, is only matbud?
Eating pasul karbanos? Yeah. It sounds like it's a lot, but I'm not 100% sure. I should know that. Log shemesh al mitzora. Okay, here's another example, which is up for debate and up for controversy. What about the log shemesh al mitzora? The mitzora goes through a tahara process. Part of the tahara process of the mitzora is that he brings a log of shemen, about 16 ounces of oil. Okay, what happens to that oil application? Cohen takes the oil, pours it into his palm, and takes from the oil and applies it to the right thumb, right toe, and right earlobe of the mitzvah. Mitzvah, remember that scene where he's standing by Sharni Karner, sticks in his right hand, his right foot, and his right earlobe in order to have it applied. He can't walk into the azar. We've gone through that scene already a number of times. Fine. Now, there's a lot of oil left. You don't need a lot of oil to apply to those places. What happens to the remaining part of the oil? Eaten, right? Salad dressing. Eaten by the Kohanim. Kohanim get to eat that oil. Once again, it's part of the carbon, so to say, that's eaten by the Kohanim. Okay. So, the oil is interesting. It's not really a carbon, right? You don't offer it up onto the Mizbeach. But here's the thought process now when it comes to the oil. It has a matir, kind of, right? How does that work exactly? Because in order for the mitzvah to get the oil applied to him, first the mitzvah has to have the asham, he has to offer his asham. His asham has to be shechted. The blood of the asham is also applied to his right thumb, his right toe, his right earlobe. Okay? You can't apply the oil until you apply the blood. So in a certain degree, the oil has a matir. And that you first have to go through the step of the asham in order to do the oil. So you can make the argument that when it comes to the oil of the mitzvah, it has a matir. You can make that argument. So Rabbi Shimon does not make that argument. He does not like that argument. So Rabbi Shimon Omer ein chayavin lemishum pigol. So Rabbi Shimon says you're not going to be chayav pigol. What's Rabbi Shimon's thought process? Even if you're mefagel ba'asham, the oil's not going to come along for the ride, and the oil will not get an isser of pigol. Rashi explains in pigol ba'asham lo nifagel halog. The afa pisha halog talui ba'asham. Rashi goes on to explain. Look. It's, you can't do the process of the oil until you get to the asham. Kedichsiv, amakom dam asham. It says that where do I apply the oil? The same place where I apply the blood. So without the blood of the asham, I can't do the oil. V'imlo nasam midam ha'ashan tchila ein nesinas Hashem and klom. Rashi goes on to explain even further. Oil is nothing without the blood. Afilo hachi came into the maybe Hashemam v'achshav alo God asar yamim nimsa sheina asham atira v'came into ein lo matira and ein chayav lemishum pigol. And again, it sounds very similar to the Nesachim argument. In fact, it sounds so similar that, as Rashi and Tosfos both point out, it's essentially the same. It's the same exact argument. You can't call it a matir. Yes, it's true. I can't do oil without the blood. That part's true, but I could do the oil tomorrow. I could do the oil 2 days from now. I could do it 10 days from now. It could do a week and a half later. I can go through the process of the oil. You can't say that the blood is really a matir for the oil. And therefore, again, once it no longer has a matir, it's not subject to the iser of pigle. Pigle is only for something that is niter al yedei davar acher.
Without the blood, no matter what the time is, you cannot do the oil.
Right.
You need the matir.
Good. So that's good. So you're with Rav Meir, right? Rav Meir sees it your way, right? Which is the next line in the Mishnah. Let's read it. Rav Meir Omer Chayav Nala Mishum Pigle Shedam HaAsha Matiro V'Chol Sheyesh LaMatir Bein LaAdam Bein LaMizbech Chayav Nala Mishum Pigle. Okay? So good. So Rameer and you are on the same page. You and Rameer are on the same page. And presumably, meaning we could take Rameer and we could connect him to the Chachamim that we mentioned previously. That the Nesachim, Rameer over here is the same as the Rameer up above. right? That nesachim also are considered nitar al yidei hakarban, even though they can be brought 1, 2, 3, 4 days later. Okay. Finally, the Mishnah takes us through a couple of examples of this idea, that in order for there to be an iser of pigol, it has to have a matir, and it itself can't be a matir. Ha'ola, dama matir is besara. So when it comes to a carbonola, regular carbonola, so the blood is matir, the meat. Limiz beach. Now you'll say, wait a second, no one eats the meat of the ola, and I'll correct you, and I'll say, that's not true. The mizbeach does. You don't get to eat it, but the mizbeach gets to eat it. Again, in the world of pigol, hey achel, yeah achel, we could be talking about two consumers, either a person or the mizbeach. When it comes to an ola, it happens to be that the consumer is the mizbeach. V'ora l'kohanim. And by the way, it also permits the high to go to the kohanim. Now the Mishnah is not saying over here that there's an iser pigol if you eat the hide. Nobody eats the hide. That's not the point. Is just simply that once you offer the blood, so now it releases everything else. It allows the meat to be offered up onto the mizbeach. It allows the hide to go to the kohanim. But as far as the hide and the kohanim is concerned, the Mishnah is not. That's not a pigol point. That's just simply a matir point. Ola sa'of, another example. Dama matir es bisara lemizbeach. When it comes to the bird, a regular bird ola, same story. Once I offer the blood onto the mizbeach, so now the meat is nitar to go up onto the mizbeach. Chata sa'of, when it comes to the chata sa'of, dama matir es bisara lekohanim. Now, fine, so those are good examples because in all the above examples, the ola, ola sa'of, ola chata sa'of, so in all those there's a consumer. Let's get to the last case of the Mishnah. More controversy. Parim ha'nisrafim. What about our special bulls that are burnt? Right, that don't go up onto the Mizbeach. And they are the five that we've been talking about for the past couple of days. Par Helam Davashol Tzibor. Par Kohen Gadol. The Si'ir of Avodah Zarah. The Parim of Yom Kippur. Is there going to be pigol over there? Okay, meaning that when I sprinkle the blood, is it going to be that the meat now is subject to the Isser of pigol? Now, what are our arguments?
It gets completely burnt.
Right, it gets completely burnt. What becomes nitar, what becomes permitted? Who gets to eat any part of the Parim ha'nisrafim? But the answer is, the Mizbeach gets a little bit, a little taste of the animal, the imurim, right? The innards of the animal, the fats, the kidney, the diaphragm, those parts of the animal do go up onto the Mizbeach HaChitzon. So there is a little bit that is consumed of these animals. So maybe you can make an argument that the remaining part of the animal also should be subject to the Isser of Pigol. Controversy in the Mishnah. Parim ha'nisrafim, v'sir ha'nisrafim, daman matir es imurehem likarev. So according to the Tanakhama, since it's subject to becoming nitar, so therefore the Parim ha'nisrafim is subject to the Isser of Pigol. Rabbi Shimon Omer, no. Kol she'enu al mizbeach ha'chitzon kishlamim, ein chayav an alav misham pigol. No, it's too weird. Now, in the world of halacha, do we get to say that? It's too weird? Yeah, we do. In this case, we get to say it. Why? Because when the Torah gives the example of pigol, what's the prototype case of pigol? Where the Torah says, let me give you an example of pigol, so the Torah talks about shlamim. Right? Shlamim. We know that because the Torah says, right, zevach shlamav. Right? The im ha'echol ye'echol mibsar zevach shlamav. The Torah talks about the example of shlamim. Now, as we've learned earlier, pigol applies to ola, to chatas, to asham, but still, there's a prototype. The prototype of the Torah is shlamim. Shlamim is classic, meaning I shecht it, I take the blood, I sprinkle the blood on the outer mizbeach. So that means that it has to be a type of karban where it is sprinkled or kometz goes on the outer mizbeach. If that doesn't happen, if it's not hitting the outer mizbeach, Rabbi Shimon says, it's too far off from our prototype. And therefore it's not going to be subject to the Isser of pigol. Parim ha'nisrafim, according to Rabbi Shimon, is too far removed. Because the blood is never sprinkled on the outer mizbeach. Right? It's only sprinkled inside the heichal, opposite the paroches, onto the four corners of the inner mizbeach, but none of it sprinkled on the outer mizbeach. So it's too weird, it's too exceptional, and therefore it's not going to be subject to the iser of pickle. Okay, ad kan divrei ha-mishnah, and hopefully you understand. This is no longer a discussion of what causes pigol. This is a discussion, this entire Mishnah is a discussion of what becomes subject to the iser of pigol once pigol has been affected. And I pointed out in the beginning of the Mishnah, and we're just going to reiterate, it's really ironic how the catalyst for pigol itself doesn't become usur with the iser of pigol. It causes pigol, but it itself doesn't become usur with the iser of pigol. As Phil pointed out earlier this morning, I don't think the Mishnah is saying you can eat it. You're not allowed to eat it, right? It's, you know, it becomes disqualified, but you're not going to get kares. You're only going to get kares for the parts of the animal that are normally consumed, the meats and the imurim that are normally consumed. Amar Ula. Good. We start now with the Gemara.
Right, and it's pigol. What's the,
you know,
the death is consuming
a pigol. Right, so you're right. So that, no. Im heyachol yachol tells, no, you know, you have to know. In other words, the iser of pigol is an iser achila.
But we say it's mizbeach is a consumption.
Right, so the mizbeach is a consumer, right, right. The mizbeach is a consumer vis-a-vis the creation of pigol. But I
you can't have
You can't have courage for feeding. I mean, you're feeding. I understand that. Let's think this through. You're feeding the mizbeach.
Pigol.
So once it's consumed, it's already.
It's dam. It's chaylev. Again, yeah. What it is, I'm not sure, but it's not. It's not. You're not going to get courage for that. Right. It's an. This is a courage for an iser achila. You have to eat it. I'm with you. I understand what you're saying, but it's came out like you're feeding somebody else pigol, meaning you're not going to be chayv kares. Okay. Amar Ula. Kometz pigol shehelo agave mizbech paka pigolo mimenu. Imacher miveli de pigol hu atzmo lo koshkein. So Ula says, let's say you take pigol and you throw up onto the mizbech. No longer pigol. Now for a moment, let's take a moment. Let's try to Ula's going one step further than that. Ula's saying pigol goes away. Right? Paka pigulo, the iser pigol goes away. Right, again, we're talking about the iser of pigol in the meat itself. So comes pigol, shehelu al gabe hamizbech paka pigulo mimenu. So imachir mivile di pigol huatma lo kol shekein. So and Ula makes this point by making an argument. If others bring it to pigol, it itself lokol shekein. Now, what does that mean? The Gemara doesn't understand that last line of Ula. My kamar, right? The Gemara is like help. So hachi kamar. So the Gemara says here. Here's what he means. Imenu miskabel hech mevi acherim leday pigol. Look, it's not miskabel, meaning it itself never receives pigol. It can't lead others to pigol. So the Gemara says, "My kamash malan." What's Ula saying over here? Id ein chayavin la mishum pigol. What's his point? That the kometz, right, the fistful of flour, which is a matir. You want to tell me that it itself is not subject to the iser pigol? Tanina. That's what we spent the first half of this morning's daf doing, learning exactly that point. Eilu dvarim shein chayavin la mishum pigol. Our kometz factors v'alavona. Uminchas kohanim uminchas kohen mashiach uminchas esachim vehadam. Gemara spent a lot of time quoting the Mishnah, but the Mishnah says that a matir isn't subject to pigol, as we've already established. Ella, so that's not what Ula is teaching us because we knew that already. The im alu lo yardu. Oh, so it must be the second point that Ula says that if it goes up onto the mizbeach, you don't take it down from the mizbeach. Again, later in the Masechta, we're going to spend a lot of time learning this. The Masechta has an entire parak dedicated to this topic of things which shouldn't have gone up onto the mizbeach, but once they're up there, keep it up there. Im alu lo yardu, right? An entire parak of that discussion. So maybe what Ula's telling us is that I have the comets, and the comets goes up onto the mizbeach. I shouldn't have put it up there, meaning it's disqualified. I shouldn't have put it up there, but if I did, don't take it down again. So the Gemara says to that again.
How can you take it down? It's already burned.
No, before it's totally charred. In other words, so right, somebody's walking up there with the comments with the fistful of flour, and another Kohen realizes, wait a second, don't do that. That's pickle, huh? Right? The Kohen who, whatever, he knows it was pickle. And so the Kohen's walking up the ramp and about to put it on. So if he lays it down on the fire, imalu, once it's there, lo yardo. You don't have to scrape it off. You can leave it on there. The Ella, so the Gemara says that maybe that's what Ula's coming to teach us. Tanina. Again, I don't need that. I don't need him for that as well. When we get later on to the towards the end of the Masechta, so we're going to learn this. Halanda Yotzev Atame, disqualified karbanos, either because it stayed overnight and nobody offered up unto the Mizbeach, or Hayotze was taken out of the Yazara, or it becomes Tamei, Ushinishcha Chutzus Manu Chutzim Kama, or it was disqualified with a bad Machshava. So im alu lo yardu. So we know the halacha is if it goes up onto the Mizbech, you don't have to bring it down. Good. So Ula, what did you add to the whole discussion? You didn't tell me that it's subject to pigal, because that our Mishnah taught us. You didn't tell me that if it goes up on the Mizbech, you don't need to take it back down again. I have the Mishnah for that as well. The Eladim Yardu Yalu. Well, maybe he's coming to tell me, look, shouldn't go up onto the Mizbeach, so you don't have to take it back down again. But let's say somebody takes it down.
Don't take it up.
Don't bring it back up again. You don't have license. Once it goes up onto the Mizbeach, it doesn't have carte blanche. That part of the carbon, which really shouldn't have gone up to begin with, if it comes back down, somebody brings it back down again, keep it down. Don't bring it back up again. Hanami Tanina. So again, it's a Mishnah. So far, in what Ula's saying, the Gemara says, I don't see a chiddush. The fact that a matir itself is not subject to pigol, our Mishnah. The fact that if it goes up onto the Mizbech, don't bring it down, Mishnah later on. The fact that if it comes back down, don't bring it back up again, Mishnah later on. So what has Ula taught us? How about this? Gemara's trying. How about this? If it went up onto the Mizbeach and it's already caught fire, at that point in time now, it stays up onto the Mizbeach, even if somebody brings it down, put it back up onto the Mizbeach. Hanami Amra Ula Chadazimna. So the Gemara is, that's a Chiddush, but Ula, you said that already. Right? It sounds like you're repeating yourself. The Amra Ula. So the Gemara tells us Ula already made that point later on. Why would Ula seem to be making the point again unnecessarily by the comments if it's already been taught later on? The Gemara says, no, there's a chiddush over here, top of the Amud Beis. Aver de Mechaber, look, that original statement of Ula, that once it takes fire, once the fire catches it, and now it's on fire, I leave it up on the Mizbeach, even to the point where if it comes off, I put it back up on again. That's talking about a limb of the animal. Dimichubar. It's a whole mass. It's a piece. It's a solid piece. Avakomets dimifras emalo. But when it comes to the kemitza is particles of flour. Right? The Kohen, if he opens up his hands, the particles are just going to fall to the bottom. Fall to the ground. Right? So one could make the argument, look, by the kemitza, it's not a whole unit. They're just simply little particles. So if part of the kemitza gets burnt on the fire, if the other parts of the kemitza that are not burnt on the fire, I'll take down. Or if they come back down, I won't bring it back up again. So Ula's point is that by the comets, specifically by the comets, which you could say is not really a mass, a single unit, but rather it's just tiny particles, you could say that they should be divided. Kamash Malan. Amarav Achai Hilcha Chai Komets Pigol De Palge Machis Aare Opalge Aske Amaaracha Umashla Baor Misikna Le Lekula Lechatchila. Okay, so Rav Achai says, based on what Ula just taught us, good, so now I can say over another Chiddush, which is that if you have a Komets where Part of it went up onto the Mizbech, and part of it never went up onto the Mizbech, and the part that went up on the Mizbech is already starting to be burnt. I bring the other part up onto the Mizbech. I treat the Komets like a whole, like an entire entity. I'm Rav Yitzchak, I'm Rav Yochanan, Hapigol Vanos V'Atam She'elon L'Gabe Mizbech, Paka Istamehan. Okay. Pigol, Noser, Tameh, all your disqualifications, not just disqualifications, by the way, but serious disqualifications, meaning I say serious, anyone who eats pigol is chayv karis. Anyone who eats noser is chayv karis. Same thing is true by tameh. Anyone who eats tameh is chayv karis. She'elon L'Gabe Mizbech, once it goes up onto the Mizbech, Paka Istamehan, the Isser goes away. Okay? The Mizbech takes the Isser away. Now, Amar Rav Chista, Mari Dichi. So Rav Chista says, Baal Hashmua Hazos, right, master of the statement, Mizbech Mikvah Tahara? You're telling me that what? The Mizbech now all of a sudden becomes a Mikvah? You seem to be confusing different concepts. Right? When something becomes Tameh, it goes into the Mikvah, it comes out Tahor. Good. Which is not true by food, but it's true by people. It's true by utensils.
People are nitzar also nitzar don't get changed status from
Right, and you want it right, and even still, right, a mikvah doesn't take away nosar, the issur of nosar. Good. Now, what are you telling me? The mizbeach all of a sudden becomes a mikvah, right? I take pigle, a food that has pigle, a carbon that has pigle. I put up onto the mizbeach purifies it. What are you doing over here? You're confusing a mizbeach and a mikvah. I take nosar. I put up onto mizbeach. Okay, that's it. No more nosar. What is that? I don't understand what you're doing there.
So it's already.
So mikvah tahara. I'm Rabbi Zera. Shemashal behen haor. So Rabbi Zera says, yes, correct. Once it catches fire, correct. The Isser of Pigel, the Isser of Nosar, the Isser of Tameh all fall away. Once it's Mashla Behena Or, so then it will no longer be subject to the prohibitions of Pigel, Nosar, and Tameh. Again, we'll make the point that we made earlier this morning. I don't think for a moment the Gemara means that now you're allowed to eat it.
But it's going to be burned, whether there's eat anyway.
Meaning, even if it starts catching fire, you know, you can go run up to the Mizbeach, blow out the fire, you know, and have a little charred. I don't think the Gemara means that. I think what the Gemara means is that just simply the Isser Karis goes away. It's no longer going to be the Isser Karis to pickle the. It's still disqualified.
Nobody's going to eat.
Meaning the Mizbeach can handle it, because the Mizbeach has that ability to handle things which really shouldn't have gone up onto the Mizbeach to begin with. The Mizbeach can handle it. But as far as the Isurim are concerned of pickle, Noser, and Tameh, the Isurim go away so that it won't be an Isser Karis.
The whole concept of pigol is that you need to carry the entire service and everything has to go just right. Except for the pigol. So this is part of the process. So if it's supposed to burn them in the mizbeach,
again, we're not talking about, and this is the confusing part, and I try to make it clear from the beginning. We're not talking about creating pigol. We're talking about after it has become pigol.
I understand it.
Right. Okay.
But
good.
Once something gets the status of pigol, for it to maintain that status, it needs to go into try. Through the entire process, just as it's supposed to be.
Right.
But that process for it is to be burned on the mizbeach, let's say.
Well, right? Once that process is gone through, so now it has become pigol. This is a meat now that has the isser of pigol.
So what I'm confused about is why is saying that there's no karet with this if you eat it?
Because once the mizbeach has accepted it, so now the mizbeach, so to say, has started
purified it.
Mizbeach started eating it. Once the mizbeach starts eating it, so that takes away its isser pigol. How exactly that works? I don't know.
It purged whatever it was.
Right. The isser pigol has gone away, and again, that's why I'm maintaining like I have an opinion on the matter, but I can't. It's hard for me to imagine that now you can walk up onto the mizbeach and take it down and eat it. I don't think it's saying that. I think the Gemara is saying just from the standpoint of it's no longer as an Isser Karis. I think it only goes to that degree.
I understand correctly. So since Mizbech is consumer.
Right.
And I would answer, you know, the point, yes, it's purified.
Okay, but I understand that, but not to the point where you can eat it. Not to that point. No. Okay, Mesa Rav Yitzchak Bar Bisna. Yes.
With regards to Tuma, where's the tzitz?
Yeah, so, right, how come the tzitz itself should be the maratza?
So it becomes tahor on the mizbeach?
No, but the tzitz is maratza for everything. For all karbonos that go out onto the mizbeach in the state of tuma, the tzitz is maratza. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's good. Moving right along. So, that's good. Okay, Mesav Rav Yitzchak Bar Bisna. Okay, on this last point over here, so the Gemara is going to challenge. So again, we have a statement by Rav Yitzchak who quotes the name of Rav Yochanan that if any of these Isurim go up onto the Mizbech and the Mizbech starts eating it, right, Kaviyachol, right, and it catches fire, so to say, the Mizbech's digestive system now is starting to work its way on it, so the Isurim go away by the wayside. So the Gemara says, Mesav Rav Yitzchak is going to challenge based on a Braisa. Now what the Gemara is going to do is something a little bit unfair, a little bit, and that is it's going to throw us in the middle of a Braisa. Now the good news for the rest of today's daf is that later on this morning we're going to see the rest of the Braisa. We're going to see the Braisa in its entirety, and we're going to have a better understanding of what the Braisa is even talking about. But let's read it right now. Let's just quickly go through it right now. And when we get to the end of today's daf, we'll see the whole Braisa. So Mesav Rav Yitzchak Bar Bisna Acher Ma'amrim. Okay, again, this is an excerpt of a Braisa, which we're just seeing the tail end of it. The Tumasu Alav, the Torah says that you're not allowed to eat a karban while you are in a state of tuma. Mish Tumasu Parachas Mimenu, Yatsa Basa Shein Tumasu Parachas Mimenu. What the Braisa is trying to figure out is, what's tame? You are the karban. The Torah says that if you eat of the tuma so alav, and the tuma is on it or on him, referring to you or the karban. So essentially, what the Braisa keeps hammering home again and again, it's talking about you. You tame. If you're tame and you eat karban, you're going to be chayev kares. So tumas alav mishu tumas parachas mimenu basta shein tumas parachas mimenu, and one of the arguments is, it's talking about you, because the Torah describes it as, and your tamei, and which is curable, which you could get rid of. Now, if we're talking about you, yeah, tuma is a temporary state. You can get rid of it. You tov on the mikvah, if you're mace, you go through the paradu, but you can get it out of it. If the meat were tamei, well, wait a second. Well, that's going to be the question. Okay, but I'm just understanding the Braisa. Once meat becomes tamei, that's it. End of discussion. Meat is tamei; it's always going to be tamei. Now the Gemara is going to ask, "V'imisa hare tuma parachas mimen al yidei or?" Wait a second. We just learned, according to Rav Yochanan, a way to purify meat from its tuma, and that is by putting it up on the mizbeach and letting the mizbeach eat it a little bit. So the Gemara says, first of all, no, that's not what the Braisa meant. Braisa meant Ayde Mikvah. It didn't mean Tahara through the Mizbech. Mean the Mikvah Ksiv, but well, the truth of the matter is, it doesn't say Mikvah. Well, we're talking about the meat of Shlamim. Meat of Shlamim doesn't go up onto the Mizbech. It's not Chazila Krava. That doesn't get purified. It's only meat that could go up onto the mizbeach. Ravina Amar, v'tumas olav misha tuma parachas mimenu kishu shalem yatsa basa davashein tumas parachas kishu shalem ela kishu chaser. Or a third possible answer is, I know we're not talking about the meat because, yes, it's true, meat could be quote-unquote purified by going up onto the mizbeach, but only after they start getting burnt in the fire. It's going to be chaser. It's going to be missing a little bit. Right, you who become tamei, you don't have to lose any part of your body to become tahor. All you need to do is go into the mikvah. That you can't do with the meat. Okay, so fine. So it's not a question, and Rav Yochanan's position is still defended. No, sir, tamei and pigol. Once it goes up onto the mizbeach is quote unquote mitaher.
Okay? Fine. That's unbelievable trivia. I mean, imagine sitting down at the Shabbos table. Can the Mizbech purify anything? And the answer is, now after learning Zvachim Daf Mem Gimel, yeah.
But what about Asur become, whatever it is, Asur is becoming, it's changed the status?
Does it change status? No, it just loses the status of Pigel Noser and Tamei. Yes, I think so. Okay, Gufa. All right, let's go through this quickly, because now what the Gemara is going to do is this, we get to go back to the price of it. Tumaso, so Allah.
Why can't you do with all the Teruma become Tamei? Everything that's become Tamei?
Because, I mean, it doesn't belong on the Mizbeach, meaning it shouldn't have gone on the Mizbeach to begin with.
Well, you can't do it.
It's all after the fact. Yeah. It's right, it's all after the fact. You can't do it. Okay. Okay. Parshat Tzav. Just one quick introduction. We have a couple minutes left this morning. One quick introduction, and then we're going to finish off today's daf. The Torah says, "V'habasar sheyiga b'chol tamei lo yecha ve'ishi saref v'habasar kol taro yochal basar." Parshat Tzav, Perek Zayin. I start in Pasuk Yates, and there it says that if the meat, and this is certainly talking about the meat, if meat becomes tamei, then you can't eat it. Lo ye'achal be'ishi saref. You can't eat it. You burn it. Not on the mizbech, but you destroy it. V'habasar kol tahor yochal basar. And when somebody's tahor, then he's allowed to eat the meat. Right? And the meat's tahor, so then it can be consumed. Now, Hanefesh asher tochal basar mizbech shlema shel Hashem v'tumaso alav v'nichrasa hanefesh ahim me'ameha. It's Pasuk Chaf that's going to give the Braisa a little bit of an issue. In Pasuk Chaf it says, now when you have a nefesh asher tochal basar, when someone eats meat from shlamim and tumasa alav and it's tame, ambiguous pronoun, who's tame? Your tame or the meat's tame? V'tum'aso alav, right now I'll say we're not 100% sure, although by the end of the Braisa we will be 100% sure, but just leave it ambiguous. The Torah says if you do that, you're going to get kares. V'nichrasa nefesh ha'im me'ameha. V'nefesh ki siga b'chol tamei, v'tum'as adama b'behema tamei, b'chol sheket tamei, v'acha mi'basa zevach shlamim, ashel Hashem, v'nichrasa nefesh ha'im me'ameha. And then in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, the Torah then goes on to say very clearly, that if you're tamei and you eat meat, you're going to get kares. Pasuk Chaf, v'tumaso alav, your tamei or the meat's tamei? So what the Braisa is going to do, in very clear terms, is going to make the argument, your tamei. If you're tamei and you eat basar kachim, you're going to get kares. How do I know that? Gufa. V'tumaso alav, v'tumaso gufa kasa medaber, ato omer v'tumaso guf, o'ena ela v'tumas basar. How did you know that? Nemar kan tumaso v'nemar lahalan tumaso bo. So the Gemara says, first of all, we can make a comparison between tumaso bo over here and tumaso bo stated much later on in Bamidbar. Right? Malahalan b'tumaso gufa kasa medaber, afkan b'tumaso gufa kasa medaber. So the first argument is, well, you see much later on where it talks about tuma, it says it vis-a-vis you being tame. Okay, fine. That's argument number one. We'll get to where it says it later on. Rabbi Yosi Omer Hol v'Nemar Kachim B'Lashon Rabbim V'Nemar Tuma B'Lashon Yachid V'Tumas Akos Aguf Akos Medaber. Look at the shift in plural versus singular. Right, when it talked about me, it talked about me in the plural, and then it switched to singular. Must be talking about you. Your tummy. Rebbe Omer, the achal b'tumas agufa kasa medaber, it says v'achal, so it must be that your tummy, because achil is going on you, the consumer. Okay? Third argument, acherim amru, here we go. Here's that part of the braisa that the Gemara later, earlier just quoted, just expecting us to know, oh, this is the fourth of four opinions in terms of how we know the pasuk and Perek Zayin Pasuk Chaf is talking about you being tamei versus the meat being tamei. But now we know, so we're in great shape. V'cheir ma'amru v'tamaso alav misha tuma parachas mimenu yatsa basa she'in tuma parachas mimenu. And the last argument is, it's got to be you and not the animal, because you, tumah is a temporary situation. You can get out of your tumah. Meat can't get out of its tumah. Amar, and now we can revisit the question. Wait a second, didn't Rav Yochanan say that the mikvah is matahir, and if you put a piece of meat on the mikvah, it becomes tahor? Okay, good. And now you understand, like the last 20 lines of the Gemara, where the Gemara says, yeah, that's right. How do you understand the brisa now that you know the halacha of Rav Yochanan, and which prompted the Gemara to give a number of answers? Amar Mar, Rabbi Omer va'acha b'tumas aguf akasa medaber. My mashma. Va'achal, because it says va'achal, so it must be talking about Tumas HaGuf. How is that compelling? So, Amar Rava Kolkra de lo mefarsh le Rav Yitzhak bar Avdimi, v'chol masif de lo mefarsh la Rav Zeiri lo mefarsha. So Rava, before he gives an answer, he gives a little bit of a, significant compliments. If you have a braisa, and it was never explained to you by Rav Yitzchak, forget it. You don't know Pshat in the Braisa. If you have a Pasuk that was not explained to you by Rav Yitzchak, you don't understand Pshat in the Pasuk. And if you have a Braisa that was never explained to you by Rav Zeiri, you don't know Pshat in the Braisa. Right. Hachi Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi, ho u Pasuk hakasa b'lashon nekeva. V'siyim b'lashon nekeva, v'lashon zachar be'emsa, b'tumas haguf hakasa medaber. Look, again, we go back to our pasuk chaf. Va'anefesh asher tochal basar mizevach hashlamim asher Hashem, right? And the soul asher tochal basar, not asher yochal basar, asher tochal. That's lashon nekeva. V'tumaso alav, and then it switches to lashon zachar. V'nichrasa hanefesh, that's nekeva. So it goes feminine, masculine, feminine, right? That tells us that it's talking about the person, not about the meat. Right? How do we know that? If you look at the next pasuk, it goes to that same shift in the nefesh kisiga b'chol tameh, feminine, v'achol mibasar zevach shlamim, masculine, asher l'shem v'nichrasa hanefesh, feminine. The next pasuk chaf aleph, which for sure is talking about the person, goes in that same format of feminine, masculine, feminine. So if Pasuk Chaf Aleph, feminine, masculine, feminine, is going about on the person, Pasuk Chaf, which follows the same format, feminine, masculine, feminine, is going on the person as well. That happens to be brilliant. Meaning, I'm not sure if I ever would have seen that kind of structure. Okay, you need to ask the following question. We're going to end today with the following question, and tomorrow we'll answer it. What's going on here? Meaning, we are struggling to figure out Pasuk Chaf, is it talking about the person, or is it talking about the meat? All you need to do is read one more Pasuk in Chumash, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, where the Torah there says, and if a person who eats it is Tameh, he's going to get Kares. So, it's talking about the person. So, once you see Pasuk Chaf Aleph, so what's Pasuk Chaf coming to tell us? And if the answer is, well, it's reiterating, why do I need reiteration? Okay? There must be a reason. Tomorrow, when we continue with the Gemara, we won't start with that question, but that question will get answered.